We love you, Lord. Jesus, you are so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for this new year, 2022. Thank you for our new life in Jesus Christ, more than anything. Thank you, Jesus, for being, loving us so much, being our great high priest, and being the perfect sacrifice, and offering yourself up for us as we receive communion today, as we receive and partake of the body and blood, your body and blood, Jesus, together. Let there just be a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit and your presence here as we remember how much you love us, the price that you paid for us, what you did to make us your own. Not only that, not only did you come and take away our sins, give us forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, reconcile us to the Father, but you didn't leave us here alone. You sent the Holy Spirit. Once you ascended back to heaven, you sent the awesome promised gift of the Holy Spirit to us, to live in us and dwell in us, so that we could be transformed, regenerated, made new creations in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You are so awesome. Just do a great work in our hearts and each one of us, in our spirits today. Strengthen us in the inner man. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Did I start that thing? I did. Title of my message is Spiritual New Year's Resolutions for Christians. How many of you still make New Year's resolutions? Nobody? Do you? All right. Good, good. Some people do. Well, it's the first day of the new year, 2022. The first weekend, second day. I thought it'd be a good idea to make some biblical, spiritual New Year's resolutions. I guess you could call them new life resolutions. Because you know what? We need to always, I guess the new year is a good time to look at our new life in Christ and see how are we doing in the areas that the Word of God tells us, the things we should be doing and the things that we shouldn't be doing. Because the word resolution means, in the way that we're using it anyhow, a firm decision to do or not do something. How many of you know the full testament, the New Testament is full of do's and don'ts and Christian conduct to build our Christian character? So it is important that we read those passages, that we take time to look. I mean, in every one of his books, whether it's Romans, the book of Epistles, Colossians, Thessalonians, Paul ends usually with a long list of this is what you should be doing, and obviously don't do these things. So if resolution means a firm decision to do or not do something, or it also means to behave in a certain manner, right? How many of you behave perfectly all the time? You never get mad. You never get angry anymore. Only Patty. I figured that. So it's, you know, we need to look at those things. And it is good to make those resolutions, to take time to examine ourselves and say, look, you know what? Last year, this happened with this person, and it kind of didn't just happen once. They were able to push my buttons repeatedly, and it kept happening. I'm going to deal with that this year. We need to still do that as Christians. Amen? It's important for us to work on that. People around the world made New Year's resolutions for 2022. That many of them, according to the statistics, a high percentage of them will break or give up on in a matter of days, weeks, or months. Why? Because although they have the will, they don't have the power. They're powerless. And they don't have the power that they need to stop doing something bad or to start doing something good or to behave in a certain manner, right? But people not doing what they're supposed to be doing or continuing to do what they're not supposed to be doing is nothing new. Or trying to behave in a certain manner and not being able to, that's nothing new. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us even God's people still battle with the issue of keeping resolutions for God. Paul tells us why it's so hard for us to keep resolutions in our own strength. What does he say? Remember Romans chapter 7? Familiar with that chapter? What does Paul say? Romans chapter 7. I'm just going to read verses 18 and 19. Says this. Paul, talking about himself, said, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, in my human nature, nothing good dwells." A little reality check there, okay? "For to will is present with me." So Paul's saying, I will to do it. I will to do the good things all the time. I will to obey the law. It's my will to do what God tells me to do all the time. But how to perform it, how to perform what is good, I do not find, Paul says. I can't do it. For the good, listen to what he says. "For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that's what I practice." But thank God Paul didn't stop there, amen? Paul also not only tells us that we have no good thing in our flesh, but he also tells us how to have victory over our flesh in the book of Romans and through many other New Testament passages, but we're going to stay in the book of Romans. He actually ended Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. He says this because and I'm sure we do the same thing. We get so mad when we blow it again, when we can't do what we know we're supposed to be doing, or we can't stop doing something that we know we shouldn't be doing. Paul says, "What a miserable person I am." And how many of you know, when you blow it and you know you blew it before God, you can feel pretty, I feel pretty miserable at that time. You should feel pretty miserable at that time because the Holy Spirit should be all over you, convicting you, not condemning you, but convicting you, right? That was wrong. You know what? I know I wasn't supposed to do that. But look at what Paul says. "What a miserable person I am. Who will save me from this body of sin that brings me death?" And he says, "Oh, I thank God for his salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen? As I just shared and reiterated, all of us to some degree still struggle with these, basically what the Bible calls sins of commission, and we even have sins of omission. Because we do things we know we're not supposed to do, we commit sins, and then sins of omission are we're not doing the things we know we're supposed to be doing, right? The good things that we're supposed to be doing. So we all still struggle with these sins of commission and omission every day. But thank God for sending his son Jesus to save us from our slavery to the sin problem. And then we thank God that after Jesus was willing to die and pay the price for our sins and set us free from slavery to sin, that he also sent the promised Holy Spirit to live in us, to give us the power to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, so we could be holy and free to serve him all the days of our life. If you want to turn to Romans 6, Paul tells us exactly that Jesus has set us free from the slavery of our sin nature, from the slavery of always being listening to the flesh. Romans 6, verses 10 through 14. Paul says, "Yes, when Christ died, he died for what? To defeat the power of sin. One time and enough for all time. He now has a new life, and his new life is with God." Now listen to what Paul tells us to do. "In the same way, we're supposed to see ourselves being dead to the power of sin and alive in God with new life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are now to see ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God, with powerful new life that we can live through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, but don't let sin control your life here on earth anymore. You must not be ruled by the things that your sinful self makes you want to do. Do not offer the parts of your body to serve sin. Don't use your bodies to do evil, but offer yourselves to God as people who have died to sin and now live your new life with Christ. Offer the parts of your body to God to be used for doing good. Sin will not be your master because you're not under the law. You now live under God's grace. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has set us free from sin. He's died not only, as I've shared many times during Communion Sunday, he didn't only die to save us from the penalty of sin, but he died to give us power over sin in our life. Amen? And we have that power. We can do it. The world may have the will, as I said, to make resolutions, but they are powerless to keep them because they're ruled by their flesh and their sin nature. But God, through Jesus Christ, has given us power over our sin nature, not only given us power over our sin nature, but he has sent the Holy Spirit and he has filled us with the Holy Spirit to have the Holy Spirit live in us. And God gives his people the power to live our lives according to the word so we can make and keep biblical spiritual New Year's resolutions. That's the only way we're going to do it, is through the power of the Spirit. Amen? And through the Spirit living in us. In Romans 8, that's what Paul tells us. Romans is just a great, great book to read through. Romans 8:2 says, hallelujah, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Sin no longer rules and reigns over me. I now rule and reign in life by grace through Jesus Christ my Lord. Verse 5, Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh always set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Go to Romans 8, verse 12 now, 12 through 17. So, my brothers and sisters, we must not be ruled by our sinful selves. We must not live the way that our sinful selves want. If you use your lives to do what your sinful selves want, your flesh, you will die spiritually. But if you use the Spirit's help to stop doing the wrong things you do with your body, you will have true life. Isn't that awesome? The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. The Spirit that we received is not a spirit that makes us slaves again and causes us to fear. The Spirit that we have makes us God's chosen children. And with that Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself speaks to our spirits and tells us, confirms, makes sure that we know that we are God's children. And if we're children, then we're heirs, joint heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together with him. Go down to verse 26. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen? In the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are, for we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. And God, who sees into our hearts, knows what the thought of the Spirit is, because the Spirit pleads with God on behalf of his people and in accordance with his will. We know that in all things God works together for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose. As I said, and as we know, today is the first Communion Sunday for us of 2022. And it's the perfect time to rededicate ourselves, to take time to examine ourselves, rededicate ourselves, rededicate our new lives to Christ, and make some spiritual New Year's resolutions based on the Word of God, and then ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to even help us pray and trust Him to give us the will and the power to perform all that the New Testament commands us to do in the year 2022. Here are some spiritual New Year's resolutions to consider from the Bible. Remember what resolution means. A firm decision to do or not do something, or to behave in a certain manner. But remember, we can never do it in our own strength and our own power. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, there is absolutely no way you can keep any of the commandments, any of the New Testament that Paul gives us in the New Testament for Christian conduct. So we must ask the Holy Spirit to empower us or help us to do or not do something or behave in a certain manner, because our flesh and spirit are what? Always fighting against each other so that we don't do what we really want to do. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul goes back to the subject again now. We want to do it, but we can't do it. Well, why? He gives us a more detailed explanation of what's going on inside of us right now, why it's so hard for us sometimes to do what we really want to do for God, or to stop doing something that we know God doesn't want us to do. Galatians 5:16. So I tell you, live the way the Spirit leads you. Then you will not do the evil things that your sinful self wants. Listen to this. The sinful self always wants what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is against your sinful self or the flesh. They're always fighting against each other. There's always fighting against each other. So that you don't do what you really want to do. You want to know why you can't do it? Paul tells you right there. Could be demonic influence, but a lot of times it's just your flesh. It's just your sinful self, your sinful, selfish nature doing what it wants to do, not what the Spirit wants you to do. We hear the Spirit a lot of times telling us what to do. We don't do it. We hear the Spirit a lot of times saying, oh, don't do that. But what do? Go right ahead and do it. Because there always is a battle with inside of us. The Spirit wants what is against the sinful self. They're always fighting against each other so that you don't do what you really want to do. But, listen to what Paul says, thank God for the buts in the Bible. But if you let the Spirit lead you, you are not under law. The wrong things. So Paul gives us a list of the wrong things the sinful self does are clear. Listen to what he says. And these are things that we want to make that resolution. We want to make a firm decision not to do these things or behave this way. Committing sexual sin. Being morally bad. Doing all kinds of shameful things, worshiping false gods, taking part in witchcraft, hating people, causing trouble, causing strife and division, being jealous, angry or selfish, causing people to argue and divide into separate groups, being filled with envy. Getting drunk, having wild parties, and doing other things like this. Paul says, I warn you now as I warned you before, the people who do these things, who habitually practice these things, will have no part in God's kingdom. Don't worry, he's not talking about you if you just slip up once in a while with some of those things. He's talking about people who habitually do those things, that they're not born again, they don't show any fruit of conversion in their life, they're still doing those things constantly, all the time in their life. Obviously, if you've never been born again, filled with the Spirit of God, you cannot do those. Stop doing those things, most of those things anyhow. Believe me, I know I couldn't before I was born again and saved. And when I read this passage, man, it just, I mean, you know how the Holy Spirit just, boom, just hits you with all that revelation and illumination and understanding. I was like, wow, that was totally me before Jesus saved me. I mean, probably all those things. I did most of all those things. But the fruit of the Spirit produces in a person's life, that the Spirit produces in a person's life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these kinds of things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the sinful self. They have given up their old selfish feelings and the evil things that they wanted to do. We get our new life from the Spirit. So let's always learn to follow the Spirit. Amen? That is our greatest New Year's resolution, to be Spirit-led, to be Spirit-filled, constantly learning how to follow the Spirit, not letting that flesh rule and reign anymore. Now we go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Actually, I'm going to read quite a bit of Romans 12, but I'm going to start with verses 1 and 2. Really, what Paul says here in the first verse is kind of like making a resolution, being resolute, being determined to offer ourselves to God, our whole lives as living sacrifices to God, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, present your whole lives as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, because that is your reasonable service. That is your reasonable act of worship to Him. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. I want to prove by the power of the Holy Spirit, by my character, by my Christian conduct, people to see the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our life. Don't you? Let me read verses 3 through 5 from the Amplified Version. I wasn't going to read these verses, but I'll read it from the Amplified. Verse 3. For by the grace, unmerited favor of God that was given to me, Paul as an apostle, he's saying, God gave me this authority and this grace and favor as an apostle that was given to me. I warn everyone among you. So he's going to give us another list of things that we should be doing or shouldn't be doing as Christians. For by the grace, unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of yourself more highly than you ought to, not to have an exaggerated opinion of your own importance, but to rate your ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith appointed by God to you. For as in one physical body we have many parts, and all these parts not have the same function or use, so we, numerous as we are one body in Christ the Messiah, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually depending on one another. So now listen to this long list of commandments that are things that Paul encourages us to do and not to do through verses 6 through 18. He gives us a list basically of spiritual New Year's resolutions. He tells us to make a firm decision to do these things. We all have different gifts. Each gift came because of the grace that God gave to us. Verse 6, Romans 12, verse 6. Whoever has the gift of prophecy should use that gift in the way that fits the kind of faith they have. Whoever has the gift of serving should serve. Whoever has the gift of teaching should teach. Whoever has the gift of comforting others should do that. Whoever has the gift of giving to help others should give generously. Whoever has the gift of leading should work hard at it. Whoever has the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Your love must be real. Hate what is evil. Do only what is good. Love each other in a way that makes you feel as close, like brothers and sisters. And give each other more honor than you give yourself. And as you serve the Lord, work hard. Be zealous. Be fervent in spirit. Don't be lazy about it. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Be excited about serving Him. Be happy because of the hope you have. Be patient when you have troubles. Pray all the time. How many of you know, how many of you have been praying all the time more than you ever have before nowadays? Amen. Share with God's people who need help. Look for people who need help and welcome them into your homes. Bless those who are persecuting you. Ask God to bless them, not curse them. When others are happy, you should be happy with them. When others are sad, you should be sad with them too. Live together in peace with each other. Don't be proud, but be willing to be friends with people who are not important to others. Don't think of yourself as smarter than everyone else. If someone does you wrong, don't try to pay them back by hurting them. Try to do what everyone thinks is right. Do the best you can to live in peace with everyone. Listen, that is just a small list of Christian conduct. There is so many commandments, and the bar is set so high for us Christians to live that if you read this list and tried to think, man, I got to do this in my own power, you would just give up. But we know that we can do these things. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. We have the power. That's why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. Not only to use for power gifts, not only to be able to minister to people and serve Him, but so that we could do all of these. We could have this character, His character in us. We could live like Him. We could walk like Him, talk like Him, act like Him, and minister like Him through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's amazing. And of course, our greatest New Year's resolutions. We all want to make a firm decision this year. Spend more time in His presence. The only way you're ever going to be able to accomplish and act that way and live the way that the New Testament tells us to is by how, Pete? Being in His presence. Living in His presence. How do we get into His presence? Through prayer, through the Bible, through praise and worship, through gathering together and praying for each other, through witnessing. Witnessing to people is being in His presence still. You're bringing His presence to other people that don't know Him, gathering together as the body of Christ. So the reason I shared this message is really because, like I said, this is the first week, Communion Sunday of the year. And it's a great time to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, are any of these things of the flesh that I need to stop doing? Do I need to focus on, examine, take the time to do that. Paul tells us when we take communion that we are to examine ourselves. So this is a great time to examine yourself. There are things in the flesh that you've been struggling with, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you not do that anymore in the flesh, but to listen to Him, to hear Him, to overcome those things in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. Or are there things that we need to start doing in our Christian conduct that we haven't been doing? There's always both. And the only way we can do it is by the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to give us the power to live that way. So as we remember what Jesus has done for us through His body and blood, by being the perfect sacrifice for our sins, let's rededicate our lives to Him. Let's recommit our lives to Him. Let's give ourselves to Him as living sacrifices. And make whatever spiritual New Year's resolutions, or new life resolutions, if you want to call them that, that we need to make based on the Word of God that we read and heard today. Because we want to be doers of the Word, not just hearers of the Word. And the only way we can do that is, again, only through the power of the Holy Spirit. ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray today. Pray for God's will to be done in your life. And trust Him to give us the power today to serve the Lord with clean, pure hearts of full devotion, and to be excited about serving Him in 2022. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If I can have the ushers go ahead and pass out the body and blood of Jesus. So take the time while they're doing that to just get before the Lord yourself, examine yourself. Let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Let's deal with some stuff in the beginning of the year. Start the new year off right. Amen? Amen. Get it out of the way so we can be ready to do whatever He wants to do to serve Him. There you go. Hallelujah. We'll read a little bit of Isaiah 53 while they're passing out the body and blood of Jesus. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains. He's acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses. Look, he's borne our weaknesses too. Amen? Any area that you're weak, he bore all that. And our distresses, he carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Paul says, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Let's receive the body of the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes, those wounds, that we are healed and made whole now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for taking all of our iniquity, all of our sins upon you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your precious blood. Without your precious blood, there would be absolutely no way for our sins to be forgiven. No way to be cleansed from our sins, to have it taken away. Thank you for your life-giving, powerful, awesome, holy, pure, sinless blood that takes away our sins. Thank you for purchasing us and redeeming us with your awesome, precious blood and making us a kingdom of priests, as Ralph said, for your kingdom. Priests right now here on earth to see your kingdom come and your will be done. And we're going to be priests serving you in the kingdom of God when the new heaven and earth comes, and when your millennial kingdom comes. We're going to be king. We're going to be your priests for eternity now. Hallelujah. Let us start using that priesthood like never before, right now, starting today, Lord, for your glory and honor. But thank you that your blood has removed all of our sins, made a way for us to come into the presence of God 24/7. We can live in the Holy of Holies, in the secret place of the Most High God. In your presence, that's where we are strong. In your presence, that's where we belong. Let us spend more time than ever there this year. And we could have never done that if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your precious blood, making a way for us to have access to Father God and reconciling us to Father God. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Thank you for the new covenant, Lord. Old covenant was awesome, but you have a new covenant now. Better covenant with better promises. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's receive the blood of Jesus together. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. There is none like you. Thank you for the amazing work that you have done in us. Thank you for what and you're not done with us. The work that you started in us, you will complete it. We declare that. We thank you for your amazing grace, your amazing love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, thank you for coming to live and dwell in us, transforming us, regenerating us, making us new creations in Christ Jesus, giving us the power to live holy lives, giving us the power to even do, to be able to live and conduct ourselves according to the Word of God. We could never do it without you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power to serve as priests, as a kingdom of priests, to be able to minister to you, to each other, and to those that don't know you, Lord. You are so great and so awesome. Holy Spirit, come now and touch us, each one of us. Transform us even more. Make us more like Jesus, we pray right now as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.